Blessed Resurrection Sunday, we declare that Jesus is alive, and because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And we are confident in this today as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Now, we've been focusing on Passover. And Passover was, you know, we've mentioned how significant it is. And, you know, we believe it's a word of God. And we believe it's a move of God. We believe it's the deliverance of God. But how did the people actually feel in Egypt after they experienced the Passover? Because as they came out of the land, I'm sure they were excited. They experienced Passover. They're getting out of Egypt. But then the next part was they faced the Red Sea. And as they faced the Red Sea, now the Egyptians are now coming after them and bringing to get them back. And so they must be feeling, oh, what's going on? I thought God was saving us, and now we're facing the sea of impossibility. And that's where God would show his wonder. But you see, at that point, how did the people feel? Probably not the greatest. Did they perhaps think that was the move of God, or did they say that's a move of the devil? All right, but yet it was the move of God, because God wanted to open the Red Sea for them. Is that true? All right, the second thought is this. What about the death of Jesus? We know that the death of Jesus is the greatest day of history, as we sang earlier. But, you know, at that point in time, if you and I were the disciples, how did they feel at that point? Not the greatest. They had a lot of doubt and confusion because they didn't understand that, you know, fully understand that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. So they thought Messiah's dead. Oh no, things are going to go wrong because we thought Messiah's going to deliver us from, you know, from the Romans, and now he's gone. So right now, as we are looking at Passover, as this is the week of Passover, we're believing that God is moving in this place. But you know, when the challenges keep coming, it's you know, this is what they were facing. You know, they couldn't see the full picture. We may, you know, we believe what God is saying. We may not see everything. See, the prophets, they prophesy in part, and they know in part and prophesy in part. But we don't have the full picture. Not always, right? But God does. Okay, so when we don't have the full picture, you know, it can be quite easy to sort of look with our own perspective and feel down and feel a little bit, you know, maybe depressed or a bit confused. Okay, but here I want to open up Luke chapter 24, you know, and see how the disciples who were in a state of confusion, how did Jesus approach them and how did he get them out? Okay, so we're going to follow the resurrection narrative here. So in Luke chapter 4, I'm going to open up the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. And so as they were walking, they were conversing with one another, and Jesus came to them and he's about to engage with them. But the thing is, the Bible says, and I'm going to read here, it says their eyes were restrained, so that they didn't know that it was him, all right? But here, this is what it says. I'm going to read from verse 17. This is now Jesus speaking to the two disciples. He said, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? All right? And then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which happened there in these days? And look at that's very interesting what Jesus says in verse 19. And he said to them, what things? Now, it's almost quite hard to believe that Jesus did not know what was going on, right? But here, you know, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of, you know, because if you read the whole story, which I'm not doing right now, you kind of see they're talking about, oh, Messiah's dead, you know, he was crucified, he's gone, we thought he was going to deliver us, and now, and all of that. So they're in a real state of confusion, all right? But here Jesus approaches them. And what I want to encourage you right now, I want to encourage you and me, that no matter at what stage in you know, in our faith or in our walk we are right now, do you know that God wants to approach us even at our level, even when we don't have the faith that sometimes we hope we would have? Okay, why? How do we know that? Because, well, when I look at those verses, it says, Jesus said, what are you talking about? So he actually wants to know what's on our hearts. He wants to know what's concerning us. He says, why are you sad? So I think God is actually concerned about us. You say, hey, how are you going? Why are you sad? And it's, again, it's not like he doesn't know what's happening, yet he would still ask the question, what things? So I believe in this time, you know, when the coronavirus all around the world is just crippling the nations of the earth, and many thoughts are probably bombarding us, you know, God, you know, even wherever we're at right now, God wants to engage with us. He wants to speak with us. He wants to understand where we're at. And say, hey, let me find out what's on your heart. You know, I'm going to come and meet you at your level. Okay, so that's a very encouraging thought right now, right? You see, it tells us that our eyes were restrained. And there's a few verses. It's here in John chapter, let me read a few of them. In John chapter 21, verse 3 to 4, it says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. This is after the resurrection. Remember that, right? They said to him, we are going with you also. So they went out immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. Again, they didn't know it was him, but it was him. John chapter 20, verse 11 to 15, it says this. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they had laid him. And then now, the next verse says, Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? So I'm just reading some of those verses where after Jesus rose, even though Jesus, you know, met up with these people, they did not recognize it. And sometimes, you know, we're in this stage where we can't see. And, you know, sometimes, you know, how, you know, when we're not being looked at, if there's no form of leadership looking at ourselves, looking over us, we are actually more like our real self, you know. But if we know some kind of leadership is looking over us, usually most of the time we try to be at our best. But I'm trying to say that Jesus wants to meet us just the way we are at the level that we are right now. Okay, so be encouraged. God is concerned. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. However, God does not want us to stay where we're at. We could be confused. We can have a bit of doubt and unbelief, but that's not where God wants us to stay. In fact, he wants to take us where he is. So the second point that I want to share with you here is God wants to take us to where he is. In John chapter 17, verse 24, it says this, and this is what he was praying before he went to the cross. He said this, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So Jesus wants us to be at his level, all right? And look at the encounter now as we continue in Luke chapter 24. I'm going to now read from verse 25 and 27. So as you know, the two disciples were telling Jesus what was going on and everything else. This is what Jesus then goes on to say. So after asking them, how are you going? Why are you sad? What things are happening? After checking out on them, I'm being very nice and being very understanding. But this is what he says next now. Verse 25, then he said to them, that's being Jesus, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know, we're coming into a place where Jesus is saying, hey, you know, I want to open up the scripture. I want to, you know, I believe God, it's a time where God wants us to look at him, look at his word, believe what the prophets have said. It didn't the prophets say. In fact, we're going to read some other verses here. In Luke chapter 4, verse 67 now, the angels were saying to Mary here as she found there was the empty tomb. It says, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. So remember what Jesus said. So right now, you know, we're in a place where God has been speaking to us. I mean, look back at the previous month, the previous years that God has been ministering to our hearts. These are not supposed to be, you know, just notebook that we keep, but these things that we treasure, because it is in times like this that we need to pull all of these things out and act upon those things that we have learned. So remember what Jesus himself says. What is God speaking? What has God been doing in our church, right? Okay. So it says here, I'm going to read another. So first of all, remember the words that God has been speaking, whether it's from the pastor, whether it's in your personal devotion, wherever, whatever it is, whether it's the prophet who has been speaking, the prophets of the Lord, remember his words. Now, the next part we want to need to do is believe his word. Believe his word. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 16, verse 14. It says, now when he rose early on the first day, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now, I want you to see this. They did not believe. Even though Jesus told them, the scripture says, you know, sometimes we just can't see it, right? But God wants us to go back to those words and believe what he's saying. What about this? Mark chapter 16, verse 9 to 14. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. He's talking about the resurrection, yeah? In verse 14, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. And look what Jesus did. And he, everybody say that word, rebuked. Okay, he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Wow. Now, Jesus was not just asking, how are you going now? He's actually rebuking them. All right, so God will meet us where we're at, but he wants to take us out from where we are to where he is. Okay, I'm going to read another verse here in John chapter 20, verse 27 to 29. It says, Then he said to Thomas, we know what Thomas was like, right? And he says, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. It is time for us to be believing. It is not just what we say we believe. It's going to be seen in how we respond and how we act right now in this crisis. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. May this moment of time right now be a time where we're going to have a, oh Lord, my God moment, where we're going to realize that, hang on, forgive my unbelief, forgive my, you know, my foolishness of being slow of heart to believe. Again, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You know, it's not by chance that in early this year, we've been declaring 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. We all know it, and I'm going to read the second part of that verse, or the second part of the verse. It says, believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. It is really a time for us to not only believe what God is saying, but believe his prophets. Are you and I really listening to what the prophets of God are saying in this hour? And are we really trusting those words, or are we just sort of putting it on our shelf and say, oh, maybe it might happen. Maybe it's from God. Maybe it's, oh, you know, we, you know. What is this? I believe these are the things that we really need to do right now. These three things. First, believe God. Believe God what he's saying. Believe his word above everything else. Believe the prophets. You know, when, you know, the videos that we're sending, those ones that the church leadership, pastors, and everything else that, you know, are being sent out because they're relevant to what God is doing prophetically, these are really important. And hook onto those things. See, believe the word of God. God wants to open the scriptures to us. He wants us to see according to what the prophets prophesy. So we're going to find it in the word. So get the answers that we need. We need to find the answers that we need from the word of God. Amen. I want to share one more point with you here, and this is now number three. It is in this time as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, in this time right now, you know, we may be down because of the situation, but we're not going to allow that to rob us from rejoicing in this time, feasting. It is a feast after all. This is not doom and gloom. This is a feast, and in a feast, the word is actually a circle dance, all right? Maybe you should dance with me right now if you're at home, all right? Okay, but here, it's number three. It is a time of encounter. What is God wanting to do right now? He wants to meet with us. You see, he went out to meet with his people. He met them at their level, but he was trying to get them on track to where they should be. God in this time is realigning us. He's putting our focus back in Passover because in the feast, these are the appointed times of God where he wants to personally come and meet with us. He is, you know, taking all these things around our lives that have been distractions so that we could come into a place and put our focus back to where it should be. And that's on our Lord Jesus Christ. So set our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've personally been challenged in the last couple of weeks or so because you might imagine, you know, I mean, if you think about it, with everything that's happened, you might be thinking, oh, we're staying at home and so there's probably less to do. But I have actually found myself much, much busier. And I felt really convicted because I thought, God is, you know, taking us out from the busyness of life. And how is it that I find myself even busier? So this week, you know, I determined with myself, I said, I'm going to pull back a little bit on all those things I'm having to do because I'm trying to deal and keep up with the things that are happening and catch up with the technology and keep up with everything that's going on. I said, I'm going to take a step back and spend more time in the Lord. And that's what I've been doing in the last week, really taking that time out to meet the Lord at Passover as the Passover lamb. So here, you know, I want to encourage you with this now. God wants to meet us. Well, let me say this. He wants to meet us on the road of Emmaus when there is disappointments. You see, the disciples were disappointed, but he wants to meet us at our disappointment. He wants to meet us at the tomb, just as Mary was weeping. And Jesus said, why are you weeping? So if you're weeping right now, if you're confused right now, God wants to meet us there. He wants to give us an encounter to get us out from that place so that we can be victorious and live the way he wants us to live. He wants to meet us in the upper room. Why in the upper room? You know, it says in the scriptures, I mean, if you read it, I don't have the time to go through all the verses here, but I would encourage you, you've got the notes, go and read those verses. It tells us that the disciples closed themselves in the upper room. And do you know why? Because of the fear of the Jews. So they self-isolating themselves there because of the fear of the Jews. And some of us could be, and you might be, I might be, we might be, any one of us could be isolating ourselves due to fear. Right? So in the midst of fear, God wants to meet us there. And he met the disciples there in the upper room. Okay? What about John? He wants to meet us even when we're working. So John now, he says, I'm going to go fishing. You know, this is after the resurrection. I'm going to go fishing. No, but even in the midst of, you know, doing the things that we know what to do, God wants to meet us there as well. So in every area, God wants to meet us. And finally, I want to say this. God wants to meet with us in the breaking of bread. You see, on the road of Emmaus, the two disciples, you know, as it was getting late, they said to Jesus, they still didn't know it was him, by the way, and they said, it's getting late, evening, why don't you stay with us, abide with us? And so what did Jesus do then? He sat at the table, I'm going to read the verses, and as he broke bread, wow, I think I need to read this here, okay? All right, as they broke bread, let me find the verse here. It says, as they broke bread, something began to happen. It says, their eyes were open. And then they realized that this is Jesus. And he says, was not our hearts burning within ourselves when he was opening up the scriptures? Right? And they say, you know, and so there was so much excitement. And they say, and he tells us, a few verses down, it says that they knew him in the breaking of bread. That means he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. So I find that in this time right now, as we are observing, as we are, you know, looking at the Passover, the real Passover, that is Jesus, God wants to meet us. First, he wants to open our eyes. You know, we may not be seeing, we may be fearful, we may have doubt, we may, whatever it is, right? But God wants to meet us, open our eyes, open the scriptures and make himself known to us at that place. So at whatever point you're at right now, as the points that I've mentioned so far, God wants to meet us right there. Now, let me challenge you with one last thought here. Okay? Passover is one part of the, is only one of the feasts. There are three feasts in the Bible. Okay? So my encouragement to you here is that as we are going now, prophetically, we're thinking about Passover. But it doesn't stop at Passover. Because when Jesus resurrected, he appeared to them. What were, after spending 40 days with them talking about the kingdom, what did Jesus do after that? What did he instruct them? He said, wait in the upper room, all right, where you will be endued with power. Then you shall be witnesses unto me, right? So they are now commanded to go in the upper room. Okay, so after Passover, after the resurrection of Jesus, 50 days from that time, from that day, is Pentecost. All right, so and we know Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, what happened? The people, they were gathered together. They were praising God. They were waiting. They were, worshiping. It tells us, read the book of Luke, the last chapter. It tells us what they were doing, continuously doing that, from day to day. But here's the call. Do we want to stop at Passover? Do we want to stop at, you know, are we going to get stuck when the Red Sea appears or, you know, the resurrection took place, but we're like, we can't see him, we'll be stuck there. No, God wants to take us to the next level because if we don't pass this stage, we can't move on to Pentecost. All right, so there's a call right now, okay, that now that God is getting our attention, God is bringing us back on track, like, okay, look at Passover, now I want you to make another step now because I don't want you to stay where you are, I want you to go to Pentecost. But the question is this, when God gives the command to go to the upper room, how many will be there? How many will actually go and wait there and pray and expect and start praying and start fasting? Because I believe that in this next, you know, steps or the next place that we're going from this Passover is we're going to look for, we know that we have an open heaven. and that the spirit with, you know, Jesus has the spirit without measure. Hallelujah. And God is outpouring his spirit. So, you know, as we are, you know, as I close this right now, God wants us to, you know, come into a place of unity, come into a place of, come into a place of worship, come into a place of just, you know, finding a time of prayer and fasting. So how many will take that? How many will go that way? All right. It tells us in Luke chapter 24, verse 49 to 53. Behold, I send the promise of my Father and upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Again, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Amen. I hope that through this message, you know, that you and I are being encouraged not to stay where we're at. Now, let me say this. You know, we're starting right now to get a little bit, you know, maybe we're getting used to the new way of doing things. You know, everything's going online. You know, everything is, you know, nice. You hit the playlist, it's there. I'm in my lounge. I'm, you know, in my, you know, wherever we're at. We're coming into a very comfortable place, you know, and I think there's a challenge here. Are we going to, you know, get comfortable in a different way? You see, because I think God has been shaking everything that's going to be shaken. He's been shaking us out of this comfort zone that we are, you know, we've always been in, all right? And then now we have this new environment, you know, we're working hard, and now slowly we can start getting comfortable in this again and find it hard to move on and to move on. You see, we need to be ready to move. We need to be ready to say, you know, just like as they ate the Passover, the way they ate it, they were ready to leave, ready to go. They ate it in haste, need to be ready to go. When the cloud moves, got to go. When the pillar by night leads, you know, we got to move. When the pillar of cloud moves, we have to move. Okay, so it's just a caution here. Let's not just get too comfortable with the way things are. We're having to do things the way they are because we've got no other way, right? I mean, that's the best way we can. But let's not get too comfortable in all of this. Because we said that this season is a new decade. It's a new era. So God is doing a new thing, all right? And don't get the idea that God does not want us to meet physically, because the days are coming where we're going to come together like the day of Pentecost, and we're going to be stronger, stronger than ever before, all right? But as I say all these things, you know, we say it's a new era and all these things, you know, and I shared one message before, and I said, you know, when God does new things, we need to be, new wine must be put in new wineskin. Why is that? Because it's going to stretch. Now, do you feel stretched right now? Do you and I feel challenged by what is happening? Because, I'm not going to lie to you. This is new. These are things, there's a lot of adjustment that all of us have to get used to. So God is stretching us. God is preparing us. And we can't get too comfortable right now. We got to allow God to move us, and because God is going to stretch us, because that means, right, there's also going to be more stretching. Are you and I going to be willing to go through those stretching? All right, I believe that God right now is preparing us for the seasons ahead, for the days ahead. There are future days that are coming for the church, and this is a time where we should be looking at this, where God is changing our mindset. He's changing the way we're thinking. He's going to open it up so we can see him in the light of all of this, so we can truly be still and know that he is God. We have been saying that. We've been saying, wait on the Lord, be still and know he's God. But there's coming a time where this is not just going to be songs that we sing. It's not going to just be these things that we say. We're going to really cry out to God in this time to do that, to wait on the Lord and really be still and know that he is God. So there's a challenge. Don't stay where we're at. We've got to move. We've got to move. We've got to run. We've got to go. Amen. So I want to conclude with this. I want to close this with a prayer now. And, you know, as I pray this, you know, there could be some of us, the Lord is ministering to us, you know, ministering to our hearts. Maybe the way we have responded may not have been accurate, may not have been the best. You know, there are things sometimes we regret. You know what? God knows and God understands. But the thing is, he wants us to respond well. You know, a lot of people in the Old Testament did not always respond well. You know, they made mistakes, but they were willing to change. They were willing to allow God to do something in their lives. So no matter where you and I are at this time, let God shape us. Let God do that work right now. So there might be some repenting that needs to be done. There might be some things that we really got to say, Lord, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I've lost focus. I've allowed certain things to dictate my thought patterns and my action. I pray that on this Resurrection Sunday, God's going to do that work so that we can truly express out from us this resurrection life, all right? So let me pray this right now, that in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God Almighty, possessor of heaven and earth, you are working in all of our hearts right now. You are dealing with the deep and secret things. Lord, I pray by the mighty power of your Holy Spirit, would you move right now, God, and minister to us. Lord, we repent of our own ways. We repent of our own thoughts. We repent for perhaps even unbelief. We repent, oh God, for not responding or having the right attitudes. Lord, I declare right now that in this Resurrection Sunday, we are going to experience resurrection life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, bring us back to alignment. Revive us, oh God. Oh God, we turn to you and we turn our face to you. We turn our face to you and pray and humble ourselves so that you will heal our land. The nations of the earth needs to be healed. So we praise you, God. We thank you for your precious blood. And we thank you that you not only died, but you rose from the dead. You are alive. We declare that you are the living God. Hallelujah. We praise you. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And we look forward for the things that you're doing. And we're not going to stay where we're at. We're going to run after you, Lord. We're going to run after you. We say, God, draw me away. We will run after you. Oh, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you in this time. All right, remember, Jesus is alive. He's resurrected. We have this confidence. We have the blood of Jesus, and because of that, we can boldly enter. Let's not allow the circumstances to keep us bound. God is going to take us higher. So now I'm going to say to you, I'll see you at the top. God bless you.